I want to read just one verse. It's going to appear on the screen. Can you put it up on the screen for me? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. If you don't have a Bible, you'll see it up there on the screen. Beginning in verse 6, the prophet Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I believe that one of the funnest things to do at Christmas is to give children gifts. If you ever give children gifts and you look at their face, you'll look at the way they light up, and I think it's cool when they just rip up presents. They don't pay attention to the labels, whose it is. They don't know whose gift they're opening. They just tear into it. But they're so eager and so excited. And I think most of us have a childhood memory of maybe a special Christmas present that you received. When you think back about all the Christmases as a child, what was the one gift that seemed to be like the perfect gift or the best gift that you ever received? For me, as I was thinking about it, it was Christmas 1965. I won't tell you how old I was in 1965, but Christmas 1965, and I wanted a surfboard for Christmas. That was my first surfboard. It's like, oh, I want a surfboard. And I got a surfboard. And that was the ultimate Christmas present that I have ever gotten in my life. And if you're into surfing, come up after the service and I'll tell you more about the board and what it was. I had people come up after me like, "What kind of board was it? How big was it? What did you do?" So anyway, I'll tell you more about it later. But that surfboard was to me the perfect gift. And maybe you have in your mind maybe a doll, maybe a bicycle, maybe a train set, something that when you were growing up was the perfect gift. But I've often thought, what would you give to meet the need of every human being on planet Earth? If you had to give one gift that would be perfect for every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, boy, girl, man, woman, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, what one gift could you give that would be that perfect gift, that most suited gift? And the conclusion, obviously, for me is that gift is Jesus Christ. The perfect gift is that first Christmas when God gave His only begotten Son. And Isaiah says in this ninth verse, ninth chapter, sixth verse, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now we have this text and it's a birth announcement. It was given 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. For seven centuries after the birth announcement, an angel would arouse some sleepy shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem and say these words, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This child whose birth was prophesied by God, proclaimed by angels, was indeed the perfect gift. And Isaiah, I want you to notice in verse 6, he saw two things. He saw that it was a child born and that it was a son that was given. A child born and a son that was given. A child born speaks of his humanity, and a son given speaks of his deity. Jesus was both Son of Man and Son of God. Jesus Christ was God incarnate, meaning God became flesh. Not just flesh, but He became a human being. He became a man in every sense, yet He was without sin. So there in the womb of the Virgin Mary was tabernacling the very God of the entire universe, Son of God and Son of Man. There was born a child, there was given a son. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel left heaven and came to a little village town of Nazareth in Galilee. And he made an announcement to a young teenage girl, peasant teenage girl, probably 13, 14 years of age. And she was frightened when he appeared and she didn't know what it was about. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for I am bringing you good news. You're going to bear a son and you'll call his name Jesus. and he will save his people from their sins, and he will reign upon the throne of David and of his kingdom. There will be no end. And Mary's response, how can this happen? I'm not married yet. You saw the video, you know it well. I'm not married yet. How can this be? Seeing, she said, I know not a man. I'm a virgin. I can't have a child. And then Gabriel told her the how, not that it would happen, but the how it would happen. The power of the highest will overshadow thee. Therefore, that thing which is conceived in you shall be the work of the Holy Spirit. And then Mary actually said to Gabriel's announcement, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And she submitted to God's plan. And there tabernacling in her womb was the very Son of God, this child that was given and would be born. And then in Luke chapter 2, it tells us that when Caesar Augustus sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed, that Mary and Joseph, living in Nazareth, had to journey all the way down about 90 miles to Bethlehem. And Caesar, thinking he was ruling the world, was just a puppet in the hand of God. And that decree actually forced this young couple and this woman in the last stages of pregnancy to take a 90-mile donkey ride. Any doctor will tell you that when your wife's about ready to give birth, you don't take a long trip, you don't get on an airplane, and you certainly don't go on a 90-mile donkey ride unless you want to induce labor. That'll get things started. And so he put Mary on the donkey, not a golf cart, and they headed down to Bethlehem. Even as the prophet Micah said, and thou Bethlehem of Judah, though thou be little among the nations, yet out of thee shall come forth he who is to be ruler of my people, whose goings forth have been from old, even from everlasting. Now Bethlehem was the city of King David. Bethlehem, house of bread. And it was there from the tribe of Judah that he would enroll. But when they got there, the city was packed because everyone was there to enroll for the census that was being taken. And so they were directed to a stable. And in the stable, the Bible says that she brought forth her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And she lay him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's the story of the child born, the son who was given. And suddenly there was a bunch of angels that appeared to shepherds out in the fields of Bethlehem. And the angels said, behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be unto you this day in the city of David shall be born a Savior, Christ the Lord. And they were directed to go to Bethlehem to find the babe. And then there was a whole host of angels in heaven saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth among men with whom God is well pleased. And they went, they saw the little child, and they worshiped him. That's the story that Isaiah gave 700 years before. A child is born, a son is given. That God the Father gave his son as the perfect gift. Now, because of Jesus coming to save us, I believe that he is indeed the perfect gift. And that one day, I want you to notice in Isaiah 9:6, it says that the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, when will the governments of this world be placed upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ? The answer is his second advent. You see, this one verse contains a prophecy of his first advent. A child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When will the governments of the world be placed upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ? The answer, when he comes back the second time. And just as surely as Jesus Christ came the first time, which we celebrate this weekend called Christmas, Jesus Christ will come back in his second coming. And when he comes back, he won't be a little baby. He won't come in humility. He won't be born in obscurity. The Bible says every eye will see him. And as the lightning shines from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the governments will be placed upon his shoulder. What happens when that takes place? Well, there's another verse, verse 7, that says, the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When Jesus Christ comes back, there'll be peace on earth. And the nations of the world will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. There'll be no more war, there'll be no more famine, there'll be no more pestilence, there'll be no more disease, there'll be no more sickness. There'll be peace on earth where Christ will be ruling and reigning. You say, well, Pastor John, do we have to wait for the second advent to be able to have his peace, to be able to experience his presence and his joy in our life? And the answer is no. I believe that when the government of our lives are placed upon his shoulders, when we surrender our lives to him, that we can experience all the things that are named in Isaiah verse 6 in his names in our own personal lives. Notice he's a wonderful counselor. The first thing that Jesus wants to bring to you is the gift of his wonderful counsel. The reason that Jesus is the perfect gift, because he helps us with the decisions of life. Some of you were freaking out trying to decide what service do we go to today, or we're going to go afterwards. What are we going to eat? What do I wear? What do we buy? You know, our life is full of decisions. Those are non-important decisions. They're not of that much consequence. But greater decisions, who am I? Why am I here? Is there a God? What happens after I die? Is Jesus Christ who they really say he is? Did he really come from heaven? Was he really the God-man? Did he really die on the cross for my sins? Did he rise from the dead and conquer sin and death? Did he ascend back into heaven? Is he coming again? Am I going to have to give an account of my life to him someday? You know, Jesus answers the great questions of life. He is the counselor who is wonderful. And he guides us and leads us and directs our life. Life is full of demanding decisions. And Jesus answers every one of those life's questions. Secondly, he's called the Mighty God. So Jesus is not only a wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ is the Mighty God. Now, this is a reference to Jesus clearly stating that he is God. This takes care of the demands of life. Life can be so demanding, and we often feel defeated. We try, but we fail, and we often want to just give up. I had someone come up to me after the first service a moment ago and was distraught and stressed out and worried and fearful. And I assured her that Jesus promised, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You know, he's come to help you deal with the distresses of life and the problems of life. You don't have to go to alcohol. You don't have to turn to drugs. You don't have to take other forms of escapism, materialism, and so forth. Hedonism, just pleasure, the chief good of life. But you can turn to him in your hour of need, and he will help you with the distresses of life and the demands of life and the problems that you face. And because he's the Mighty God, he'll give you strength and help in your marriage. He will help you to be a better wife and a better husband. He'll help you to be a better parent. He'll help you to be a better worker, a better child, a better Christian. The Bible says that he gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah said, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Paul the Apostle said, I can do all things through who? Christ. Who what? Strengthens me. You need help in your marriage? You need help resisting temptation? You need help being patient and kind and loving? Christ will give you the help that you need. He is the Mighty God. But notice thirdly, he is the everlasting Father. Now, this throws some people for a curve because they thought, well, wait a minute. I thought there was God the Father and that Jesus was God the Son, and that's true. And this is not a verse that's trying to explain that Jesus is the Father. The word in the Hebrew, or this phrase in the Hebrew, would be better translated Father of Eternity. The Bible uses the word Father with the concept of to generate or produce. I fathered four children, so I generated these children. So the word Father here has the idea of source. So Jesus is the source of eternity. He is the everlasting Father. Life is filled with decisions. He's a wonderful counselor. Life is filled with demands. He is the mighty God, but life is often dull, and Jesus brings a new dimension for life. When Jesus prayed in John 17, he said, Father, he said, I will that they know me, the only true God whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life. Life eternal isn't just existing in heaven when you die. It's life right now, life with a new quality, life with a new dimension. It's life in a new sphere. You see, a lot of people, when you're born the first time, you just have physical life. But when you're born the second time into God's family, it's a spiritual rebirth. You get spiritual life and you have eternal life. You enter into a whole dimension and dynamic of living. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be a Christian. You're living in His kingdom. You have spiritual life. And that's why this is the perfect gift, because He brings a new dimension to life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Do you have abundant life? Do you have everlasting life? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and been born into His family and become His child? Someone said He was born of an earthly mother so we could be born of a heavenly Father. He took us to heaven through His birth on earth. But I want you to notice fourthly and lastly that He is called the Prince of Peace. So the perfect gift is His wonderful counsel, His mighty God strength, the everlasting dimension of eternal life, and His peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus takes care of the disturbances of life. Life is full of disturbances. But Jesus came to bring us peace in two categories: peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God is something that you don't have unless you've been born again. The Bible says we're at war with God, we're at enmity with God, we're hostile toward God. That's why the Bible says there's no rest for the wicked. They're like the troubled sea. Maybe you're here tonight, you have no peace. You have no rest in your soul. You know, you can go to the drugstore and you can get sleeping pills, but you can't buy rest. You can't buy peace. You can't go to Walgreens and say, do you have any peace pills? I'm troubled. My heart is troubled and I'm full of anxiety, you know. And I know that sometimes people turn to drugs and they do other things to try to find peace, but only Jesus Christ can give you peace. And the only way to have the peace of God ruling in your hearts, Philippians 4, which garrison or guard your mind, is first to have peace with God. Amen? You must have a right relationship with God. So when your life is right with God, then and only then can it be right with others. One of the reasons why we're so at war with ourselves and with others and we're turmoil in our family and our friends is because we're not at peace with God. Once we come to be at peace with God and that little white flag in our heart goes up and we surrender to Him, then and only then can we experience peace with one another. So Jesus came to bring us into peace with God and to experience the peace of God. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Our hearts are restless, said the great Saint Augustine, until they find their rest in thee, O God. Are you going to go through another Christmas and not know Christ? Are you going to go through another Christmas and not have the peace of Christ in your heart? Now, I don't know what gifts you're hoping for this Christmas, but I know just what you need. You need wisdom for the decisions of life. You need strength for the demands of life. You need life to give you a new dimension of life, and you need the peace that only God can give in the person of Jesus Christ. So his names become symbolic of the gifts that he brings: his wisdom, his strength, his power, his life, and his peace. But there's two repeated phrases in Isaiah 9:6, and I direct your attention to the screen again, and I want you to notice, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the phrase that's repeated is, unto us. So my question in closing this morning is, was Christ born for you? Has he come to you? Have you opened your heart? Have you trusted in Jesus? Has Christ been born in you today? Has he cast out your sin and entered in and been born in you today? When the prophet Isaiah said, a child is born, a son is given, he said, it's unto us. And when I read those words, it really strikes my heart to think that God so loved the world. And you can put your name in that little slot, John Miller. God so loved, put your name in that spot, the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, which means anyone who believes in him, shall never perish, but have what? There's the gift, the perfect gift. You can live forever in heaven with God. You know what Christmas means? Christmas doesn't just mean his forgiveness, his love, his joy, his peace, his purpose, his meaning in life. It means that when I die, I get to go to heaven for all eternity. Good news, amen? Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place. And if I go to prepare you a place, I'm going to do what? Come again and take you to heaven to be with me. That where I am, there you may be also. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know you're going to go to heaven when you die? Do you know that when you die, you'll go to heaven? If not, then Jesus is that gift. All wrapped up in flesh and blood, and he sent it down in his love to you. And if you receive Christ, that gift, the blessing is eternal life. He will forgive your sins. He will make you his child, and he will give you the hope of heaven. That's the best gift ever given. Make sure that you open your heart this Christmas and invite Christ to come in and be born in you. Let's pray.